This is Brewers on Tap.
Back into Brewers on Tap, the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm your host, Jeff Levering, and this is episode number 18. Don't forget to submit your questions each and every week by tweeting at the Brewers and using the hashtag Brewers on Tap. Let's start things off this week with This Week in Brewers History.
And now, This Week, the Brewers History.
This moment in Brewers history happened just a few days ago, back on Friday, when Kyle Loesch became just the 14th pitcher in Major League history to defeat all 30 Major League clubs after the crew beat the Twins. The former Twin himself nearly accomplished the feat in early June, but he was saddled with a no decision that day at Target Field. The 36-year-old Kyle Loesch is one of only three active pitchers, including A.J. Burnett of the Pirates and the Marlins' Dan Heron, in a fraternity that began with Al Leiter in 2002. Here are the others on that very coveted list: Randy Johnson, Barry Zito, Kevin Brown, Terry Mulholland, Curt Schilling, Woody Williams, Jamie Moyer, Javier Vasquez, Vicente Padilla, and finally Derek Lowe. Congratulations to Kyle Loesch for becoming just the 14th pitcher in big league history to defeat all 30 major league clubs. And now let's take a listen to last week's highlights.
Torrey Hunter, oh, what a catch! Scooter rises high and brings it down. Slingshot mechanics as Scooter Gennett turns one around. Back into right it goes, and it is up and out of here. Scooter Gennett going up there where the big boys hit him. Twins would love to have games in that month as Parra sends one deep into center field. That is way back. Oh, it's gone! It is off the glove of Robinson and out of the ballpark. A home run for Gerardo Parra with a little assist from Shane Robinson. And that ball's hit deep. Ramirez sends it out of here. A home run for Aramis Ramirez. It is 9-1 Milwaukee into the cheese fries at Friday's.
And the 3-1. Swinging a liner, center field. And Parra's going to have a play at the plate. Here's the throw, and they're going to get him. What a throw by Gerardo Parra. Here he comes, runner goes, Luke Roy's throw, should be in time, it is. Beautifully done by Jonathan Luke Roy that time. He came out of there like a rocket and threw a bullet to second.
Stay to yourself and try to be a part of the ball club.
Adam Lind with a base hit to start the inning for the Brewers. Hit number 9, and that is a milestone hit for Adam Lind, his 1,000th career hit. And he'll get a nice hand from this Miller Park crowd. They just posted it on the scoreboard. 1-2 is hit hard into right center field. Braun is over, and he's there. And Jimmy Nelson, 8 strong innings tonight. 1 run on 2 hits. Luke Roy lines one to right, a base hit, his 4th hit of the game. In the score is Peterson. And the Brewers do add to their lead. It is 7-4, and Jonathan Luke Roy, 4-for-5, 2 runs batted in.
Scooter Gennett came alive with a bat, a couple of home runs for him, and made a few great gems with the glove. Jimmy Nelson had a dominating start for 8 innings against the Mets at Miller Park. The crew smashed by the Twins last Friday, again giving Kyle Loesch a victory against all 30 major league clubs, and the Brewers gave him a 6-run first inning. Ryan Braun had a big two-run go-ahead home run in the eighth inning on Saturday against the Twinkies. Adam Lind picked up career hit number 1,000. And Jonathan Lucroy notched his first four-hit game of the season in a victory against the Phillies on Monday. And now it's time this week where we catch up with the crew. And this week at shortstop, Gene Segura, who joins Brewers on Tap.
Let's catch up with the crew.
Time to catch up the crew this week on Brewers on Tap. And now I chat with Brewers shortstop Gene Segura. Gene, how's everything going for you so far? After the injury to the pinky, seems like you've come back and that swing is really starting to feel pretty good. And the results are there too.
Yes, I feel pretty good, you know, trying to be a little bit more patient on the play and, you know, trying to do the best I can and to help the team to win some ball game and enjoy what I do right now.
Defensively, it's always been the same thing for you, such a great shortstop, and now you've got your double play combination back with Scooter Gennett too. Been working a little bit with Hernan Perez as well. He's been back in the mix and starting to learn these guys at second base. It's been kind of fun for you, right?
You know, I mean, it's tough for me because every night you step out there on the field, you got some new face to face and, you know, new guys to hang out with and, you know, for me, as a baseball player, you know, it doesn't matter who they put up there. Mm-hmm. I have to do my thing. I have to do my job, you know, to keep doing what we're doing right now. And it's good, man. Those guys are great athletes, pretty good second baseman. They quick, and it's made me easy job, too.
Is it tough to learn kind of how they move their feet around the bag? Because everybody's different around second base. Is it tough to pick up the timing sometimes?
I don't know, man. This day part, you know, I'm going to play shortstop. I don't even know how they handle play second over there. But, you know, obviously when you play second base, you have to move your feet really quick, especially when you turn from double play. And, you know, if they're there because they know they can do that.
You just make sure you throw it at the bag and they're going to do what they need to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Just catch my ground ball, throw to them, and they had to do their job too, so that's part of the game.
Talk about your approach this year at the plate. It seems like you're using the right side of the field a lot more now. There are times last year where you kind of roll over some pitches, a lot of ground balls to shortstop. This year, you're using the right side of the field a lot. How's the swing feel?
I mean, it's feeling pretty good. I mean, it's not everybody can hit it to the other field, to the right field, to the right center field. I mean, it's tough to do that. I mean, I think not many guys do that. And when you do that, you have a lot of chance to be, you know, he's on average and he's a ball in the gapper. Maybe you feel hanging breaking ball, you can put it in the left center gap because your approach is always to the middle, to the right center. And for me, I mean, I always hit into that side. And just last year, I get a little bit out of my mind, you know, trying to pull some ball because they pitched me in. And after that, just a little bit frustrated year, like every player has those. And now my approach had to go there every time that I step up on the bus. And I feel pretty good. I mean, you can think about it. One of the greatest hitters in the baseball, they always hit the ball to right field, right center, so why can't I do that?
And utilize that speed, too. You've been hitting at the top of the lineup a lot more this year. You feeling comfortable at the top of the lineup? Is that where you like to be?
I mean, absolutely. Every baseball player, when I hit at the top of the lineup, you know, I mean, here is different, you know. I mean, today was a lefty. I'm there, you know, because I'm a righty. Sometimes they throw righty, they pull lefty, you know. This, you know, trying to combine a little bit more the offense and, you know, trying to get hanging out guys out there that, you know, smash it right. It's too same. You know, for me, I'm happy to be in the lineup. I mean, last year was probably frustrating year. It's over. I mean, it was tough. But now I feel good. I feel comfortable. I enjoy what I do right now. I just want to keep it doing.
Big part of your game is using your legs. How the legs feel?
They're pretty good. You know, they're pretty good. I just keep it in shape. When it's time to run, and, you know, it's part of my game. I love what I do, you know, steals on bases, running, first at home, second at home, you know. This is what I love, man. It's not too good idea that not putting the wheels, the guys that can run real well, and when you stop a guy like me, like, Jesus, you get mad at my mind, you know. Sometimes you have to stop because you got a pitcher behind, you have to let him hit or whatever. But at the same point, like, let me go, let me run, you know. Just that's what I do. And I know for sure I'm gonna be smart. When the tide goes up, I'm gonna be smart. I'm gonna get more patient, you know. I'm gonna learn more about that, you know, big league style, or big league, you know, around those guys here, around any guys in the big league. Hey, how you doing? How you do this? How you handle this? You know, as a young guy, sometimes you get off of 4, like off of 20 or off of 15. There's a lot for you because you're a young guy. You're going to get frustrated right away. It's not the point. You're going to get the point that you're going to get off of 20 or for 25. Just how much you're going to handle. And that's the biggest reason to be a young player in a big league. Sometimes, you know, we want to show more than we have. And that's the mistake. But, you know, as a young guy, you're going to learn. And that's what we're here for.
Well, for you, one great thing about the speed is that those 0 for 15s, 0 for 20s, they don't last very long because you can beat out a ground ball to short. You can lay down a bunt. I mean, that's one thing you can't teach is the speed. You came up in the Angels organization, and they preach being aggressive. Having spent some time in the Angels organization myself, hey, take that first to third. Make sure you're challenging the defense. Make them make a play. I think that's how the Brewers have been trying to teach everybody around here in the clubhouse too.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You can see those guys over there in the Angels system. You know, Albert Pujol, everybody just go first and turn no matter what. So no matter who's in the outfield, no matter who's in, they take them out. If they throw you out, so what? But if you're not, they're going to get in trouble. So that's really good, man. Those guys, they run the bases well. They hustle up. Yeah, I've been there like for 5 years. They challenge the outfielder no matter what, if you have a good arm, it doesn't matter. They challenge it, and when they ready to play, they go. Everybody go. So that's the one question I will remember. Like, everybody here has to go first and third no matter what. No matter if you have a Pujol or whatever. And this is Harper's go to first and third.
Gene Segura, keep up the good work.
All right, thank you.
Our special thanks to Gene Segura for joining us on the podcast this week. And now it's time to break it down on Brewers on Tap. And this week we chat with Minnesota Twins broadcaster Corey Provis. Provis spent 3 years in the Brewers broadcast booth along with Bob Uecker. He talks about his 2015 Minnesota Twins, as well as his thoughts on his time in Milwaukee, his experience about broadcasting for a club managed by Brewers Hall of Famer Paul Molitor, and he weighs in on Craig Counsell, the new skipper of the Brewers.
Let's break it down.
Minnesota Twins broadcaster and former Brewers broadcaster Corey Provis joins us now on the program. And Corey, it was a great 3-year run for you here. Before we get into that, I want to ask you a little bit about this series. You've got the Twins and the Brewers, and you know there are rivalries in baseball. You get the Red Sox and the Yankees that are rather heated. You get the Dodgers and the Giants. This is more of the Battle of Niceness awards, I feel, between the Twins and the Brewers. Everybody's high-fiving and appreciating great plays. What's this rivalry like for you over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years?
I think it has, somewhat soured in the, if you go back traditionally, and the guy that I work with, Dan Gladden, you know, he played in the 80s and early 90s, and I know he interviewed Jim Gantner the other day for our pregame show, and those two go back a long time, and those two got into some fights and some battles, and they weren't alone. There were some tense times when, you know, both teams were in the American League and would see each other all the time, and you would have some epic battles, and oftentimes it would end up with fights on the field between the two teams. I think when Milwaukee moved to the National League, that took some of that out of it. I think now it's more of a, I think fans have more of a rivalry maybe than players do, what's changed in prior decades. But it's still fun, and I think what we've seen this year, Jeff, is that it's great that with the NL Central and the AL Central being interleague partners, that you once again have the three-game weekend series in the respective cities. Next year it'll go back to the 2-2, and that's a shame. So the next time we'll see this kind of setup won't be until 2018.
Well, how great is it that it was a weekend series? I know in years past it's been in the middle of the week, and you can't really get that resonance with the fan base. But having this on a weekend series, having people have the ability to come down from Minnesota or even come up from Wisconsin when we were at Target Field a couple of weeks ago, just makes this so much more fun.
Oh, I think the fans would agree wholeheartedly. And just seeing the parking lots packed here this weekend in Milwaukee and seeing, you know, not just the Brewers tents, but the Twins flags up and the Twins barbecue spread out, because they're two different cities and offer two different, I think, ballpark experiences. Where as Target Field is a metro ballpark, it's downtown. There's a lot of nightlife when you leave the ballpark. It's staring right at you. Whereas here, it's all about get here early, get your table set up, get your grill going, have a great time. Game is over. Go back to your setup and do it all over again. And I think that is fun for fans to experience on both sides.
For a guy who's experienced both sides, you had 3 years here in Milwaukee now, this is your fourth season in Minnesota, what's the difference in the fan bases?
Very common. They're very similar fan bases that are passionate about their teams, and they know a lot about their teams. That to me has stood out. Just, you know, I think there's that Midwest, upper Midwest connection between the fan bases. And when I was here in Milwaukee, the Twins were at their peak. They were having those great, great teams, and everybody was kind of looking at them as the model franchise in the game, whereas now I think the Cardinals have that label. But, you know, Maurer was at his best, and Morneau was at his best, and Kadire, and so many good players, and Kubel, and Pavano, and Liriano, that I recall when the Twins and Brewers played here in Milwaukee, a ton of Twins fans. Haven't seen as many Twins fans. I think that's because the team has really scuffled in recent years, but maybe that will change because the Twins have some young talent. Some has arrived. Some is still going to be coming here, if not later this summer, then next year. But I think they're similar fan bases that really care and are passionate about their team.
What's it like for you, Corey, when you come back to Milwaukee after the time you spent here for 3 years, 09 through 11? What's it like when you come back now?
It feels like home, Jeff. It feels like, you know, it's only 3 years. And when you think about it, it's not a big chunk of time. But as you all know, it's not just 3 years. It's 162 games. It's basically a huge chapter of your life because you're around these people every single day, and people that work at the ballpark, that have worked at the ballpark, not just here but at County Stadium, that have been associated with the Brewers for decades. It feels like home, and it's great seeing familiar faces and going back to what we talked about earlier, even more so having 3 days to catch up with people as opposed to two. It feels like you're rushed and you don't have time to see everybody and also prepare for the game that day. This has been perfect. Just seeing everybody and getting a chance to catch up with Uke is something that I cherish every day.
Well, and you mentioned Uke. You had a chance to work side by side with him for 3 years, and for you to get that opportunity in the major leagues, your first season in 09, was there at any time during spring training where you kind of felt, hey, man, I'm working with Uke, this is pretty cool? Or was there any intimidation factor at all early?
Had I not worked with Ron Santo for 2 years before, probably that would have been more of an issue than it was, Jeff. But I worked with Ron Santo, and I traveled with Ron Santo, and here was an iconic figure for an amazing fan base that's maybe a global fan base. So having been around Ron and just kind of seeing what it's like to travel with what was a movie star, that kind of helped me get, you know, kind of settled with Uke. And I know you had the same experience, and Joe did, and I'm sure, you know, Jim and all these guys, when you sit with him, it that goes away rather quickly, who he is and all that. He's just Bob. He just becomes your broadcast partner, and that's what he wants. He doesn't want somebody that's going to be intimidated by him. He wants somebody to have some fun with, and that's what Bob I take with me every single day. And I was lucky with Ron Santo, too, that you have to be able to laugh at yourself. This game can be too tough, too trying. There's too many games, and if your season's going south, you have to always fall back on inform, educate, entertain. And if you nail all three every day, then you're doing just fine.
Chatting with Corey Provis, who's the radio voice of the Minnesota Twins, was here in Milwaukee from 2009 through 2011. And, you know, the Brewers went through a managerial change at the beginning of the season. You guys now have Paul Molitor at the helm. Craig Counsell was a player when you were here in Milwaukee. Now you see him in the dugout as the skipper. When you were here, did you see kind of the managerial style and maybe the potential to be in the dugout, being at the helm of a team for Craig Counsell?
I thought his future was going to be as a broadcaster. I thought that Counsell is so smart, so well-spoken, this fan base loves him, that I thought he would go the route as a broadcaster, not discounting the fact that he couldn't manage or coach. I just thought that that's where he was going to go. I know he did it for one season a couple years ago, and then he kind of went to the front office. And the more you think about it, yeah, it makes sense. A guy that just knows the game so well. I was surprised, though, when that was the pick. I didn't think that that was going to be the pick right away. Ron Renicke was great to me. That 2011 season I'll always cherish. But I'm happy for Craig, happy for his family. And hearing Council tell stories about growing up when Molitor was playing here, you know, those never get old. Hearing the stories about how Council would help, you know, Molitor and Yount with their fan mail. And just I just love that part of it. And Council said when you were a kid growing up, you either wore Molitor's number or you wore Yount's number. And that was kind of what you did. And I think it's been a neat weekend kind of seeing those two guys, you know, in the same position for different teams just kind of do the same thing this weekend.
Yeah, we talk about Paul Molitor, the, you know, first time he's managing. What's it been like for him? Has there been any adjustment period for him? And what's it like dealing with him?
The thing that I noticed, Jeff, and it didn't hit me right away, but just I think after a month or so of games, as he does, with like every manager will do every day, the pre- and post-game media session, he very rarely talks about himself. He very rarely plays the card of when I played, or this reminds me of an at-bat when I had back in the 80s. Because he made the toughest thing in sports look so easy to do. And I think that the guys in the Twins clubhouse appreciate the fact that he doesn't always go back to his playing career because he made it look so simple when it's really not. That I don't think is discounted in the Twins clubhouse. I think the way he uses his bullpen is fascinating. He won't necessarily wait for Glenn Perkins in the ninth inning. If he feels like and Perkins is available and he's got some innings to throw. If the save situation comes up in the eighth inning, then Perkins may come in the eighth inning and work a two-inning save. He stretches out his relievers in ways that I hadn't seen in the past. Guys are going to make mistakes in the base pass, but he's all about that. He's all about being aggressive on the base pass. The Twins don't have a ton of team speed. They don't hit a ton of home runs, so they have to manufacture a bit more than maybe some other American League teams do. So they're going to make some outs, but he did too. I mean, he was somebody that played the game correctly at the same time. I'm sure Paul Molitor had a few misplays running the bases during his great career.
Yeah, and it seems like the Twins have really taken on his personality as a player. I mean, you mentioned it, aggressive. They like to run the bases. They like to make defensive plays. I mean, it is a pretty much a microcosm of how he played back in the day.
It is, and Brian Dozier speaks about that. I think had Paul Molitor not been hired as the manager, just my opinion, had he not been hired as the manager, I'm not sold that Torrey Hunter's back. Torrey Hunter was getting offers, multi-year deals from really good teams, whether it was the Rangers, and he makes his home near Dallas, Baltimore, Kansas City came after him. So we're talking about contending teams, and the Twins were not expected to contend this year. This has kind of been, I think, a nice surprise how well they've played after 70-plus games. But if Molitor is not named manager, I don't know if Torrey Hunter signs here. So he has that impact, and he walks into a clubhouse, and when he says something, people listen. It's not just some guy you're going to tune out. You know, he is somebody that demands attention, demands respect, and if you don't, then you're missing out, and you probably don't belong here.
It's been fun to watch, and again, this weekend has been great. The fan base has been nice, and when we were up in Minnesota, you know, the beginning part of the month of June, you had probably a 65-35 split with the fan base, and it feels about the same here. So it's really great to see you, Corey, and get a chance to get to know you for the first time, too. So, again, appreciate the time, and continued success to the Twins.
Jeff, great to join you. It was nice to meet you. Congratulations on the job. You're working for a great organization, you're working with great people, and you're going to learn a lot from Bob and Joe and Kent, and it's a big part of my life that I'll never regret, I'll never forget, and I'm glad for you and this opportunity you have.
Checking in on the farm.
We check in on the farm this week, and as always, we remind you to check out our blog, Minor Details, and you can find that online at minordetails.mlblogs.com. Down with the Biloxi Shuckers, shortstop Orlando Arcia has been named to the Futures game. He will compete against the U.S. team for the World Squad. And the Shuckers pitching coach Chris Hook will assist on the United States team and the game being played in Cincinnati on Monday, July the 13th. One of Chris Hook's starting pitchers, that's right-hander Jorge Lopez, has been on a roll. He dominated yet again on Saturday night, picking up his third win in as many starts, tossed eight innings and allowed just a run on three hits while striking out eight batters. After losing each of his first two starts to begin the season, Lopez is 6-0 with an ERA just over 2 with 61 strikeouts in 63 and two-thirds innings. And his stats for the month of June, well, he's 3-0 with an even 1.00 ERA with 23 strikeouts in 27 innings. Absolutely dominant from right-hander Jorge Lopez. And you want some more dominance from a Brewers hurler? How about left-hander Wei Chung Wong down with Brevard County? He threw eight shutout innings on Monday, en route to his fifth win of the season. Gave up just five hits in that start and struck out five, and he has not allowed a run in his last two starts, totaling 15 and two-thirds. Wong is on a three-game winning streak since May the 31st, going 3-0 with an ERA of nearly 2.5 in those five games. And Biloxi first baseman Nick Ramirez had a swing that he'll never forget. Just a few days ago, he hit a two-run home run off of Major League rehabber Jose Fernandez of the Miami Marlins. That two-run blast, again a swing that first baseman Nick Ramirez will never forget. And that's this week's Checking In on the Farm.
Here's what's on tap with the Brewers.
The crew goes head-to-head with the Atlanta Braves in a very brief three-game series at Miller Park next Monday, July the 6th, through Wednesday, July the 8th. Great seats are available starting at just $9. And next Tuesday, July 14th, Miller Park will transform from ballpark to soccer pitch to host an international soccer match between popular Mexican team Club Atlas and Newcastle United FC of the English Premier League. Plus, the first 10,000 fans, 18 and older, will receive a scarf courtesy of Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Tickets are on sale starting at just $25. Just visit brewers.com/soccer. And this summer, the Brewers have teamed up with a couple of local entertainment venues to help enjoy all the Wisconsin summer has to offer. With a Fair Days Double Play, you can get a ticket to a Brewers game and a ticket to the Wisconsin State Fair for just $15. And with the Brew Crew and the Zoo Ticket Package, you can get a Brewers ticket, a ticket to the Milwaukee Zoo, and a free water bottle, all for just $20. For details, visit brewers.com/fanvalues. Well, that's it for episode number 18 of Brewers on Tap. Don't forget to tweet your questions to @Brewers using the hashtag Brewers on Tap each and every week. Thanks to our great guests, Brewers shortstop Gene Segura and Twins broadcaster and former Brewers broadcaster Corey Probus. My name is Jeff Levering. Thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is Brewers on Tap. Brewers.